Hi, this is Ted Haggard from New Life Church in Colorado Springs. The program you're about to hear is written and produced by a friend of mine, Gordon Klingenschmidt. I've known Gordon personally for 12 years, and I've seen the fruit of his life. He's an honorable servant of the Lord. I've also endorsed his book and recommend his ministry to you. So I encourage you to listen to what he has to say and write to him and support Persuade the World Ministries. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this radio broadcast of Persuade the World Ministries. You're about to hear part 9 of 18 in our radio production of the book written and taught by Gordon James Klingenschmidt, entitled License to Sin, the number one reason America is losing its moral foundation. If you call us in the next hour, we'll mail you a free cassette tape of today's broadcast, which you can copy and give to your friends. Just call our toll-free number, 866-OBEY-GOD. That's toll-free, 1-866-OBEY-GOD. Gordon James Klingenschmidt is a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy and a seminary graduate of Regent University, holding both MBA and Master of Divinity degrees. He's also the founder and servant of Persuade the World Ministries, a 501c3 tax-exempt religious nonprofit corporation in Colorado Springs, dedicated to persuading individuals in America and throughout the world to forsake their sins and submit their hearts and minds to the loving rulership of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, with today's teaching, here is Gordon James Klingenschmidt.
Thanks, Mark. I want to title this segment, What Must I Do to Inherit Eternal Life? I mean, if there's one question you really have to figure out before you die, it's this one. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, if there's one person in all history who can answer that question, it's Jesus Christ. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I want you to read this for yourself in Luke chapter 10. This is what I call Luke 10 soteriology, or salvation theology according to Jesus. Now listen carefully. The man asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? The man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. Oh my, did you hear what Jesus just said? Love God and love your neighbor. Do this, and you'll inherit eternal life. Now, it's true that Jesus died on the cross to forgive your sins, but according to Luke chapter 10, if you don't love God and love your neighbor, then what Jesus did on the cross doesn't apply to you. This is the law of Christ. Love God and love your neighbor. Do this, and you will live. So are you saying, asked Johnny Lukewarm, that if I don't love God with all my heart and love my neighbor as myself, then I'm going to hell? What if it were true, Johnny? Would it change your behavior? The Bible says this, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. And we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. And the Bible also says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. So if Jesus said in Luke 10 that you have to love God and love your neighbor in order to be saved, then we've got to ask, who is God going to condemn to hell? Before I answer that question, let me state that I am not any man's judge. I don't have authority over you. I am your equal, your peer, a member of your generation, and I am not your judge. But I am called to be a messenger sent from the one who will judge you someday. And here is God's message to you. Love God and love your neighbor. Do this and you will live. Did you know the Bible says that greedy people are going to hell? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, neither idolaters nor the greedy will inherit the kingdom of God. You know the greed-filled sin of gambling is popular in America? Satan himself rules your heart whenever you go gambling. Gambling was once confined to Nevada and New Jersey, but now it's legal in 46 states within driving distance of nearly every American home. But gambling is sin. It's the same as worshiping false gods because it proves that you love money more than you love God. If you gamble, your God is money. Oh no, gambling is just entertainment, says says Johnny lukewarm. The casinos call it gaming instead of gambling. It's just a game. No, Johnny lukewarm, if you're out there listening, a better word for it is lust. You don't want entertainment. You lust after money. And you worship the false god of money. I can prove to you that it's not entertainment. If you couldn't win any money back, how many quarters would you put into those slot machines just to watch the pretty lights and spinning wheels if no money could clink out into that tray? How long would you continue to be entertained? And if lottery tickets didn't pay back any money, how entertaining would it be to scratch off that little piece of paper? How much fun would that game be? If there was no money at those blackjack tables, how many people do you think would drive for hours out of their way to come and play blackjack? Not many at all, because there really is no entertainment in it. You just love money. You're full of greed, and you love money more than you love God. Money is your God, and you are an idol worshiper. Don't claim to be a Christian while you worship false gods. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Well, what about investing in the stock market? Asks Johnny lukewarm. But Johnny, if you invest money just to get rich, you are an idol worshiper. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith. Don't wander from the faith just to pursue a big 401k retirement plan. Love God, not money. If you become a doctor or a lawyer just so you can get rich, you're an idol worshiper. Don't love money. Keep yourself free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Obey the laws of love, not selfishness. Become a doctor so you can heal people. Become a lawyer so you can promote justice. Become a soldier or a policeman so you can protect and serve people, not just so you can gain personal power. Politicians, make God proud of your voting record. Don't just pander for selfish advancement. And everybody else out there, why do you go to work every day? Just to get more money? Or do you go to work because you love your neighbors and you want to serve them? You know, greed is everywhere today, even in the church. I hear some prosperity preachers promoting greed every time they take an offering. They twist the scripture, give and it will be given to you, into give so that it will be given to you. Send me money so that God will give you back a 100-fold return. They convince their followers to give out of a selfish motive so they can get back a greedy return on their investment. But they pollute God's holy altar. Giving ought to be an act of love, not because you want something back. If people give to this ministry, I pray that your motive is to help other people, not because you want some selfish reward. Give because you love God and you love your neighbors. Did you know that almost all rich people are going to hell? Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Yeah, I know. I've heard Pastor Loophole out there trying to water down that scripture.
Well, they had very big needles back then. And it's actually not too difficult to get a camel through the eye of a needle. So it's really not that hard for rich people to go to heaven. Just believe Jesus forgives you, even while you continue to enjoy your sins of greed and selfish hoarding.
But that's a lie. Your big bank accounts prove just how selfish you are. Jesus said, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And he told this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. So he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God says to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. If you're rich toward yourself and not toward God, your big bank accounts are going to testify against you on the day of judgment, proving how you loved money more than you loved God. How can you claim to love God whom you haven't seen when you don't even love your neighbor whom you have seen? If you're rich and you're hoarding it all for yourself, I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow Christ. If you're greedy, get rid of every cent. Forsake your idols and worship God alone. How much can I keep for myself, you ask? Zero. Jesus said, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. All of your money belongs to God. He's just loaning it to you, and you'll have to answer to God for every wasted cent. If you don't use his money for his kingdom, you'll hear him say, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, hell will be full of rich, selfish men who squander God's money on themselves. So are you saying that if I love money, that I'm full of greed and I'm going to hell? Well, what if it were true, Johnny? Would it change your behavior? Although the Bible says, neither idolaters nor the greedy will inherit the kingdom of God, and no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I'll just say this. Love God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do this, and you will live. Now think about that for a moment while we take this short break.
Thanks, Gordon. He'll be back in just a moment. But first, do you know somebody who needs to hear today's message? If you call our toll-free number in the next hour, 866-OBEY-GOD, we'll mail you a free cassette tape of today's broadcast, which you can copy and give to your friends. All our tapes are copyable and free, but please remember we need your donations to stay on the air and give away these free tapes. So please pray and obey, then send us your best possible donation after you receive your free cassette.
Hey, time out. If it's your first time contacting us, no donation is required. Just call us.
Our toll-free number is 866-OBEY-GOD. That's 1-866-OBEY-GOD. And please specify you're requesting today's program, cassette tape number L9. Do you believe America needs to hear these messages? If so, we're specifically asking you to join the Persuaders Club and to sponsor this radio broadcast with a monthly pledge of just $15. If you join the Persuaders Club, we'll also send you an autographed copy of Gordon's book. Just visit our website at persuaders-club.com or call us in the next hour at 866-OBEY-GOD. Right now, let's return to Gordon James Klingenschmidt.
Thanks again, Mark. Did you know that sexually immoral people will spend eternity in hell? A University of Chicago study found that 83% of adult men and 70% of adult women admit to having engaged in sexual intercourse before marriage. The Bible calls that fornication or sexual immorality. A University of Wisconsin study found that half of all American adults have lived with a mate outside of marriage. Cohabitation or living in sin has increased sixfold since the 1960s. But God says the sexually immoral, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Prostitution is also rampant in America's suburbs. But I've never hired any prostitutes, says Johnny Lukewarm. That's only something that people do on the shady part of town. But Johnny, who are those actresses taking off their clothes in the R-rated movies that you rented last weekend? Anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And who are you video store owners and cable TV operators out there who earn your living by selling sex videos? Are you no better than pimps who profit by selling your whores over the television screen? I challenge you with the authority of Christ. Destroy your inventory and serve God as aggressively as you've been serving the devil. Are you saying, asked Johnny Lukewarm, that if I watch sexually explicit videos, then I'm guilty of adultery and I'm going to hell? What if it were true, Johnny? Would it change your behavior? Revelation 21 says, the sexually immoral, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. You know, homosexuality is also becoming very popular in our culture. But I tell you, there's no such thing as a homosexual. Not one homosexual exists on the face of the earth. There's no such thing. You show me a man or woman who claims to be homosexual, and I'll show you a man or woman who was created by God to be a heterosexual. But sadly, they were neglected by their same-gender parent, and longing for love and affirmation, they looked for an older same-gender friend to replace that parent. And then they were deceived by a sexually perverse grown-up who craved to fill his depraved sexual appetites with vulnerable, innocent children. It's called recruiting. But homosexuality is genetic, they say. God made me this way. That's a lie. God created you to be heterosexual, but I'm sorry, you got recruited. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Any high school biology student studying Mendelian genetics and Punnett squares and Darwinian natural selection will suddenly realize that homosexuality cannot be genetic. It's not possible. You know, they still haven't proven that it's genetic, and they never will. Take off your emotional blinders and think about this for a second. If a man with dark hair mates with a woman who has dark hair, odds are their children will have dark hair. And if a man with brown eyes mates with a woman who has brown eyes, odds are their children will have brown eyes. But if a homosexual man meets with another homosexual man, odds are good they won't have children. So how do they pass along their genes? You know, natural selection would have made the homosexual gene extinct eons ago. You people are being fooled. There are no homosexuals out there. But here's another theory for why people act homosexual today. It's called recruitment. You know, the easiest way for homosexuals to maintain an available pool of perverse sex partners is to recruit your children. That's why you see their big public relations campaign to normalize homosexual sin, beginning with children's books and public school education campaigns and children's television programs and even legal battles to adopt children. If they can train children to accept homosexuality as normal, it's that much easier to recruit them. But Jesus said, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. So are you saying that if people don't repent of their sexual immorality, then they're going to hell? Although the Bible says, do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders will inherit the kingdom of God. And sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'll just say this. Love God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do this, and you will live. Did you know that people who are full of hatred, unforgiveness, and murderous thoughts will spend eternity in hell? Oh, I suppose murderers may not go to heaven, says Johnny Lukewarm, but I just get angry now and then. Anger isn't a sin. But Johnny, your unforgiveness and anger and bitterness are sins, calling for your destruction and fire on the day of judgment. You've heard that it was said, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment in fire. You've got to forgive. You've got to love your enemies. The United States has the highest divorce rate in the world because people just won't forgive each other. Approximately half of all U.S. marriages, even Christian marriages, end in divorce. But what did Jesus teach? I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, or some Bible teachers add abandonment or physical abuse, and marries another woman, commits adultery. Now, will adulterers inherit the kingdom of God? I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. Confess your sin to God, that he may forgive you. Are you saying that if I don't forgive, then I'm going to hell? You don't know what they did to me. And you don't realize what your unforgiveness is doing to you. Jesus said, if you don't forgive men their sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. Do you realize that if you don't forgive what they did to you, then God won't forgive you of your sins? Although the Bible says hatred, discord, fits of rage, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I just encourage you to love God and love your neighbor. Do this, and you will live. Let's touch on abortion for a moment. I'll withhold my personal opinion, and instead I'll just mention a few statistics, generally acknowledged as true by both sides in the abortion debate. Since 1972, there have been more than 30 million abortions in the United States. Today, nearly one in four pregnancies ends in an abortion. But only 7% of all abortions involve the threatened life of the mother or the health of the child or a victim of rape or incest. So 93% of abortions are just for convenience. You know, some people describe these babies as unwanted, but for every one child given up for adoption in America, there are 20 couples on a waiting list hoping to adopt. 20 couples. And they're not all waiting for white babies either. Don't be deceived. Because 83% of abortions are performed on white females. Do you think God views the fetus as a human being? The God of the Bible says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart." You know, God has a plan for every child, even before they're conceived. Some people think life begins at conception, but I think it begins even before conception, in the mind of God. Suicide is likewise very popular in America, with or without a doctor's assistance. Suicide is now the second leading cause of death among American teenagers. Of the world's largest 25 industrialized countries, the United States rate of suicide for children under 15 is double that of the other 24 nations combined. "But it's my life," you might say. "No one else can tell me when to end it." Actually, you're wrong. It's not your life, because your body belongs to God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. If you commit suicide or assist in suicide, you're not just a murderer, but you're also a thief, stealing a life that does not belong to you. God owns you, and God alone can decide when your life should end. "Are you saying," you might ask, "that if I participate in abortion or suicide, God will send me to hell?" I don't have to give my opinion. The Bible gives a better answer than I. Murderers, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. "But I know somebody who died while committing these sins," you may say. "I don't want to believe that my friends or relatives are burning in hell." I am so sad for your loss. Let me clarify that we don't know for sure that any one individual is in heaven or in hell. That's between them and God. But if the worst was true, and they were suffering in hell today, what do you think that dear person would want to say to you? What kind of a message would they want to send to you? Would they pray to God, "I beg you, Father, send a messenger to my family's house, warn them so they don't also come to this place of torment"? But God replies, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." Now, before we pray, I want to encourage everybody listening, don't think that other people's sins are worse than your own. You know, the sins I've committed and the sins that you have committed are just as bad as the sins that we've mentioned today. And apart from God's mercy, none of us deserves to go to heaven. But Jesus died on the cross to forgive all of our sins, if we'll just turn to Him and repent and change our hearts. Love God with all your heart. And love your neighbor as yourself. Do this, and no matter what you've done in the past, God will forgive you, and you'll have eternal life. Let's look to Jesus together and pray for His forgiveness. Would you pray these words with me to God? Wherever you are, just stop what you're doing and pray for a moment with me to God. Father in heaven, I am so sorry for my sins. I confess the sin of greed. I loved money more than I've loved you, God. I confess the sin of sexual immorality. I've loved pleasure and lust more than I've loved you, Lord. I confess the sin of unforgiveness and bitterness and thinking murderous thoughts about people that you love, God. I forgive them now. And I ask you to forgive them also, Lord. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I trust in your atoning sacrifice on the cross. And I ask you to come and rule my heart right now. In your name I pray. Amen. Did you just pray with me? Can I ask you to raise your right hand up to God if you prayed with me? Wherever you are, if you're in your car or in your house or in front of other people, it's okay. Just raise your right hand up in the air to God as a sign that you just prayed with me and gave your heart back to Him. Go ahead. Now, some of you are receiving a physical healing in your bodies right now as God's loving rulership takes over in your heart. I hope you'll email us and tell us about that. Now, I'd like to know your thoughts about today's teaching. Do you agree with me? Do you disagree? Please send me an email at persuadetheworld@yahoo.com. That's persuadetheworld@yahoo.com. I also hope you'll join the Persuaders Club and get a copy of my book. I've been very fortunate and blessed to have this book read and endorsed by people like C. Peter Wagner and Professors Tony Campolo and John Mark Ruthven and Pastors Ted Haggard and Floyd McClung and Joy Dawson and Bill Hammond. So you know it's trustworthy. Please pray for us, and please mark it in your schedule and tune in again next time to this same radio station at this regular time period. Now, I love you, and I care about you. So here's Mark with more information.
Thanks, Gordon, and thanks, everybody, for listening. Do you know somebody who needs to hear today's message? If you call our toll-free number in the next hour, 866-OBEY-GOD, we'll mail you a free cassette tape of today's broadcast, which you can copy and give to your friends. All our tapes are copyable and free, but please remember that we need your donations to stay on the air and give away these free tapes. So please pray and obey God about how much these teachings are worth to you, and return to us your best possible gift after you receive your free cassette.
Hey, time out. If it's your first time contacting us, no donation is required. Just call us.
Our toll-free number is 866-OBEY-GOD. That's 1-866-OBEY-GOD. And please specify you're requesting today's program, cassette tape number L9. Do you believe America needs to hear these messages? If so, we're specifically asking you to join the Persuaders Club and to sponsor this radio broadcast with a monthly pledge of just $15. If you join the Persuaders Club as a monthly partner, we'll send you an autographed copy of the book you've been hearing, written and taught by Gordon James Klingenschmidt, entitled License to Sin, The Number One Reason America is Losing Its Moral Foundation. Just visit our website at persuaders-club.com. That's persuaders-club.com. It's the monthly donations of our Persuaders Club partners who keep this program on the air. Now, if you have comments or questions about today's broadcast, you can email us at persuadetheworld@yahoo.com. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 77222, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80970. Or you can always call us toll-free at 866-OBEY-GOD. And if you remember, please tell us the call sign of the radio station you're listening to. May God bless you and thank you for supporting Persuade the World Ministries. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Hi, this is Gordon James Klingenschmidt. Do you know there are 8 benefits of joining the Persuaders Club? For a monthly pledge of just $15, we'll send you a personalized certificate and add your name to our prayer list. I'll also send you an autographed copy of my book and regular cassette tapes, which you can copy and share with your friends. And you'll help rebuild America's moral foundation. And you'll also get our newsletter, The Persuader, and tax receipts so you can deduct your gift. And of course, you'll have my personal thanks. So please join the Persuaders Club today by visiting our website at persuaders-club.com. Or call us toll-free at 866-OBEY-GOD. And thanks for supporting us with your prayers and donations. You're changing people's lives for Christ. Did you also know there are 8 specific ways to get involved with Persuade the World Ministries? You can become a prayer partner or make copies of our tapes for your friends. Or become a certified persuader to lead small group Bible studies with our materials. Or you can have me speak to your church or organization. Or have your church even become a certified persuader church. For details about these things, just call us toll-free at 866-OBEY-GOD. Or visit our website at persuaders-club.com. That's persuaders-club.com. The broadcast you just heard is property of Persuade the World Ministries. But if you're listening to a digital file like an MP3 or a WAV file, we encourage you to make copies of this program and give it to your friends. Do you know somebody who needs to hear today's message? Just imagine if you emailed this file to them or gave them a disc and it prompted them to give their heart back to God. Someday you'll see them up in heaven, and they'll thank God that you had the courage to reach out to them. So please copy this program and give it to your friends. And take a moment right now to join us in prayer for everybody who listens. Thanks, and may God reward you for the work you do for His kingdom.